Our reading this morning is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. In your pew Bible, that's on page 897. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and acknowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full in love. The word of the Lord.
I teach relaxation therapy to many of the patients that I see, and I teach deep breathing, so I'm wondering if you want to breathe with me for 20 minutes. We'll all be renewed, we'll all feel great, we'll have lots of oxygen in our system, and we can move forward. Good morning. I'm feeling incredibly privileged to stand here this morning and share with you from the Word of God. We are engaging, and we have been engaging, with the topic of church unity and the body of Christ. And today we're looking at the topic of maturity and how it applies to the health and the growth of our church. I'm so glad that maturity is a growing process rather than a destination. If it was the goal to hear from a mature person who got their act together, you will be sincerely disappointed. And I would be speaking out of hypocrisy and lying to all of you. Probably like many of you, growth and maturity in faith is a daily challenge, and there is much room for all of us to grow. I pray that we continue to learn and grow together in this fundamental topic. So before we move on, let's take a moment with me just to ask God to reveal to us what we need to be heard and said. So, Father, you are the God of love and unity. Open our ears, our minds, and our hearts so that you can move freely in each. Amen. I've spent a great deal of time over these last several weeks mulling over this chapter and these particular four verses from Ephesians chapter 4 that we're going to explore together. This conversation I'm having with you has been developing and changing as I've asked God what MacIver needs to hear. I believe that the pastoral team and church council puts great thought into how our congregation can move and grow and be more effective together as a body. I believe that this is a timely series in the growth and the rebirthing of our congregation. I have a slide behind me, and just a slide of observation. I don't profess to know much about the ins and the outs of church growth, but I do know that churches, like all things, have a natural cycle. This is pure observation, but I couldn't help but look out at how MacIver lives within this cycle. Ken and I and our four boys have been attending the church for 22 years. So we came in, I guess, probably close to half of its church life. And what's been really interesting is to see the natural progression of the cycle of our church. So when we came to the church back in 1994, 95, I guess, This church was growing. It was big. We were working within moving into three services. We were having programs in the church all week long. We were in a growth spurt. So if we're looking at this chart, I look at that as we were in the system of the birth had happened almost, well, years before that we came. We were in the growth cycle where we were growth-oriented. We had high morals. We were creatively planning. The services were just a great expression of all the gifts of the church. As time is going on in the cycle of the church, we have seen things happen within our church body where we've plateaued and we've lost some vision over the years. We've seen people leave. We've had people go to look for greener pastures. We've been questioning who we are as a congregation, wondering what our next move is. We have seen our numbers dwindle, and we've seen changes. The beautiful part about this cycle right now is that we have not reached anywhere close to the idea of death. Stefan talked earlier in the first service that he talked about a church that did experience that, and another church will resurrect, but we have got here a cycle that I believe now we are moving on that uphill, upward hill again. I think we are experiencing a council and a pastoral staff with dreams, with visions, with excitement that the church will grow and continue to move. Our beliefs and our goals are a part of the growing cycle that we're entering into. I believe that we have cycled through some of our more challenging days and a new light is on the horizon. We are climbing back with new vision and goals, and we are examining ourselves and exploring how we can build a stronger body with our gifts and our talents. We are being challenged to examine what we want to contribute to this uphill climb. I look forward to continuing seeing the growth that we are experiencing and continued maturity as we move again, once again, through this cycle. We should all know that ministry is to be carried out through the ministry of many and not a few. It takes a whole church to do the work of the church. And each one of us, as we have been learning, has received gifts for ministry. And the task of the Christian life is to discover those gifts and put them to work. This is the only way the church will ever be what it was designed to be. And only you and me can fulfill this particular part of the function of the body of Christ, which is allotted to you. If you don't do it, the whole body suffers. Therefore, it is essential that we all know what our gifts are and how to use them. So for the last week, we spent time looking at what the various gifts were. And I don't want anyone to walk away taking that very lightly. I think it's worth an examination. And if you did not do that fivefold ministry exploration online, I challenge you to take another look at it and see where your gifting is and how you can use it to edify and build up the body. This is what the People Project series has all been about. It's about looking inward to examine our own hearts and what is really important to us in the life of our congregation. What are we willing to sacrifice to make this church great again? Where we are deeply connected for the sole purpose of caring for others inside and outside the walls of our church, where people feel respected, loved, and valued, we all own this. We can be this place. However, this can only happen when we choose to grow and mature and completely allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. In the heart of these verses that we looked at and were read earlier, Paul states that we will continue to use our gifts in the church until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Verse 14 claims, then we will no longer be immature like children. We will no longer be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, and we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. In today's world, we are being inundated by so much mistruth. We are being challenged to accept the values of today's society. And as we accept those values, they are becoming more and more like we need to be accepting them as truth. And I think it's ultimately important now more than ever that we know what our scriptures are saying and what our values are in our lives so that we can stand up to the lies that are being spoken in society that they're forcing and wanting us to believe is true. So, our exploration begins today. What does it mean to be mature? We know that maturity has very little to do with chronological age. I have met some of the most amazing 20-year-olds who exhibit great maturity and tolerance for all people and accepting people for where they're at. They are disciplined and committed to the word and approach their faith with open arms. These young adults hunger and thirst after God's own heart and often teach us and often teach me about living, loving others, and having tolerance. The opposite is true. And unfortunately, I've sadly witnessed disappointing encounters with elderly adults in the church that I frankly have had greater expectations of. They are sometimes stuck in the past and have little tolerance for change. An elderly individual once told me that they were withholding their $20 from the offering plate that Sunday because they felt that the drums were overbearing. They were a little stuck. However, on the other hand, I know others of the next generation above that are open and full of godly wisdom that I have sought for their guidance. Regardless of age, maturity is a growing process. It is a goal that never has an ending here on this earth. Because if it does, it tells us that we have stopped growing. Growth is God's method. It does not take place suddenly. It is not something that happens overnight. And it's a process that requires time. It's life's experience that help us grow. It's the hard knocks and the challenges that shape us. It is in difficult situations that we really see growth and maturity. Maturity is recognizing that our dependency is on God and not of ourselves. And like most of us here, we have walked in days of darkness where it is hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, where hope is difficult to see. For Ken and I, we've had a few of those seasons in our life where things have been really challenging. We've had loss of employment. We've had changes in job status. We have had death in our family. We have the challenge right now of walking with Ron and Giselle through their hardship right now. For those that don't know, I work in palliative care, so I see the heartache, the family dysfunction, the family challenges every day in my job because we get called into those most difficult situations and try to bring hope and healing and make sense for many people that are in the dying process or in their last season of life. So we know that all of us are aware and know that hard times hit all of us at times. So the choice is where our maturity lies and who do we depend on? Do we blame God? Or do we embrace God and ask Him to walk with us and carry us through those difficult times? I think how we respond to hard times in our lives is a real reflection of our maturity in how we view and interact with people, both in the church and outside the church. In your bulletin, I have a sheet of paper that I'd like you to take out. If you've got a pen and paper, I've selected 9 scripture verses. There's many more that could have been selected, of what I think are markings of a mature believer. I wanted to engage with you a little bit more so that you weren't falling asleep on me throughout the whole session this morning. So I am posting as we go along the scripture verses with the blanks in there. I'm hoping that you will take these 9 Bible verses home with you and examine at least one, and that'll be my challenge at the end, one area that God is speaking to you about maturing and growing in. So, I'm going to look at these slides. Number 1, Jesus is our ultimate example of who we are to emulate. Mature Christians desire and strive to imitate Christ. Ephesians 5:1 says, and if you've got a pen and want to fill it in, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. The ultimate goal of the Christian, to be more like Christ. Slide 2. How do we learn what we need to know about imitating Christ? Mature Christians build their lives on the Word. And Joshua 1:8 says, Joshua 1:8. I got a son, Josh. There we go. Don't call him Joshua very often. Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate it on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. I was telling Denver before the service that I've experienced this idea of meditating on God's Word day and night, that as I spent time reading through these four verses before going to bed, it was amazing when you're in a place of rest and a place of sleep, how God speaks through our minds, through our hearts when we're resting. I think the clutter of the world and your day leaves, and God has the freedom to speak. So in the middle of the night, often I had the entire sermon or parts of the sermon completely running through my head. Challenge was in the morning, completely forgot all that was said. But you know what? After four or five times of experiencing this over several weeks, what I grasped from that was, I believe it was the Holy Spirit that knew what needed to be said and what needs to be said this morning. I'm really caught in between following my notes and asking the Holy Spirit to just move as He wishes to speak to us. But I think it's important that if there is a challenge in this too, is to spend a couple of minutes before going to bed and bring in one piece of God's Word and allow Him to take that Word and infiltrate it right through our being. And I have read this verse, and I know about meditating and reading words before going to bed, but that was a phenomenal experience for me to realize how in-depth, how ingrained He can move in our hearts when we are not in a conscious state. So, something for us to consider. Slide 3, or the next verse that we're looking at. Another important mark of maturity for the Christian is to watch our words. We all know that our words are powerful and they can either build up or destroy a person. James makes it very clear that if we have the control of our tongue, we would be perfect. And we know because of our sinful nature and our thoughts and our minds that we tend not to always have guard on our tongue. But the marking of a mature Christian is one who recognizes and asks the Holy Spirit to guard our tongues in what we say to people. And we are called to edify and build up the body of Christ at all times. The fourth verse is Galatians 5:22 and 23. We all know this one very well. If we allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives, He will produce incredible fruit. Who doesn't want to be around people that express love and joy? They have a sense of peace. They're always kind. They are faithful. They share goodness. They are gentle and they have good self-control. Who doesn't want to be around these people? And why is it that we don't want to at some times work towards having these virtues in our life? So another area that if I think with maturity and we asking God to work in our lives, He will produce these fruits when we allow Him to work in our hearts. The fifth verse, wisdom. Wisdom is what I seek God daily for in my life. I appreciate this verse in James because I witness it every day. When I silently pray in my counseling sessions with people that are so heartbroken and so distraught, my words are seldom adequate to console the broken hearts that I sit with. Our wisdom has limitations. I really believe that when we stop in the middle of whatever we're doing and saying, and we seek God's wisdom and ask for it, because many verses in Scripture say that we must ask for God's wisdom, that He so freely gives it to us. So in the next difficult situation that you're in, ask God for His wisdom. And I think you'll be surprised at what He has to say through our mouths. Slide 6. This next marking is a big one. In this day and age, when it feels as the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and all the moral values that many of us grew up with in the church are being challenged, and terrible distortions of the world, we need to remember that we are responsible for our own sinful natures and our relationship with God. It's easy today in this day and age with the freedom that we see on TV that we tend to judge people very quickly. We need to define what definitely is sin within in the context of what God expects from us. But I think we need to guard ourselves in judgment of others and understanding the place that people are at. We're not responsible for judging other people's lives or their sin, particularly outside the church. I think we can identify those things if we see within the church. But God is the ultimate judge. And I don't know about you, I'm really grateful that I don't need to be the judge of where their eternity is spent. My responsibility is to love people where they're at, share God's truth with them, and trust that God will do the work in their lives. So we need to be really careful about judging others. And sometimes when we stop to think, we need to take our own log out of our own eye and respect those and allow God to be the judge of others. The next verse, slide 7. For the past 2 weeks, Denver has reminded us that we are a gift to the body of Christ. I appreciated that line. We often talk about gifts as something outside of ourselves and something we have to offer. And sometimes we forget that we are actually the gift to people. We have gifts to serve others in the body of Christ. So for this marker, we look to 1 Peter 4:10, where it says, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. If we choose to remain passive and not use our gifts to serve the body, we will not achieve what Christ intended for the church. We will not fit perfectly together because each part has a special role to play in the whole body, so that is healthy and growing in love. The 8th scripture I've chosen is that a mature Christian learns to know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. We have our consciences, or AKA the Holy Spirit, who convicts us and gives us opportunity or freedom to choose between the two, the right and the wrong. I have always encouraged my boys that when their gut or their conscience is speaking to them, they better listen up and make sure they make the right choice by the conscience and what they have learned, or they will suffer the consequences of their choices. The final scripture verse that I looked at in this passage is, a mature Christian is an example, not a perfect one, but one who is genuine and honest with themselves and others. I believe it is incredibly important to be a mentor to the younger generation. They need people that they can trust and imitate. If you don't feel that you are one of these individuals that can allow the younger generation to follow, I challenge you to examine your life and your heart. I have believed in mentoring for a long time. I have mentors in my life, that people that I go to for encouragement, for wisdom, for love, for acceptance. But I also believe in turn that one of my roles is to be a mentor. I have spent some time with the high school girls over the last few years. And what I've learned is they're not looking for a perfect person at all to be a mentor. They are looking for someone who can sit with them, talk with them, be honest with them. I am really open to share with them the challenges that I'm facing within my work, within my life, within my family, so that they can see how I interact my faith with my challenges, my celebrations, and my joys. I don't really believe that there's any excuse for anyone of us sitting in the pew today that we are not worthy of being an imitator or an example to our younger generation. I think it's a really huge gift to the church to open yourself up to allowing yourself to be a mentor to someone in this church body. I challenge you to look at that subject alone. Find someone that you can either go to mentor, or open yourself up in your lifestyle to be a mentor for someone else. So here's the challenge this morning. I am praying that the Holy Spirit will move within our hearts. I intentionally prepared this insert for you to fill in, and if you haven't been able to fill in it because you don't have a pen or didn't participate, these verses are taken from the New Living Translation, and you're welcome to look them up at another time. I want you to consider praying for God to reveal one or two areas this week in your life when we looked at these 9 passages of ways that you can work towards growing in maturity. Our church is in a great cycle of growth and rebirth and moving forward, and I believe it's got some really exciting life ahead of it. And I think if we all look at where we are in our maturity and what we can contribute to the body of Christ, I think we will see change, we will see growth, we will see excitement, and most importantly, we will see people wanting to come into this place to be cared for, loved, and supported. In a few minutes, we will be coming to the Lord's table. It is here that we take time to examine our hearts, make things right in our own hearts, and make things right with others. I have learned years ago that before communion, you sit and you confess to God and ask Him to reveal things in your heart and in your life that need correction, need attention. God's desire for Makati Church is that we recognize that as individuals continually growing in maturity, we are to speak the truth in love to one another. We are a body that recognizes that Christ is the head. We should acknowledge that we are a gift to each other and that we have gifts to help others grow. Paul says in verse 16 of this chapter that as we each do our part in the body, it helps us. It helps others' parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. And when we are full of love, we will be unified together in our faith and we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and the complete standard of Christ. I look forward to the next season in our cycle as we continue moving through our cycle. And I look forward to continue to engaging with people in different various ministries and in different parts of our church body. It is here that we have opportunity to serve, to give, and it's sometimes in our lives to take when we need support, love, and care within our church. And I think McIver offers all of that to all of us. So here's our opportunity now to serve one another in communion.
I just want to start by saying thank you, Char, for what you've shared with us here this morning. We see this Christ-like maturity in your life. Not a perfect person. I've got to know you better than that. But a person who is mature and maturing, and we're seeing the fruit of the Spirit, we're seeing Jesus' likeness at work in your life. And we've seen that in what Char has shared with us here this morning. I have been really grateful to even be in Char's home many times, and even to eat at her table. And this is one way that it's helped me to think about maturity, and how I appreciated this point that not only are we called to be mature, but to help others grow in maturity. And so you could think, not only are we to eat ourselves and become full ourselves, but to help feed others so that they would grow. And Char, this is another one of her gifts. We've seen the gift of teaching here this morning, but hospitality as well, and how you've poured into four boys. And I've seen this, eating at your table, how the gift of hospitality, of cooking and feeding people. And sometimes that's a slow process. It's not an instant thing. It's a day after day kind of thing. But we keep at it, and we keep an eye for seeing how people are growing, how people are being filled and becoming stronger and more mature. And so that's even a vision for our church, that we are a household, and we come together at the table to be filled up again, to grow into maturity. But also as we come to the table, we come to feed one another, not just to receive in our own lives, but to share with each other. To feed one another, to help one another grow into maturity. Every single one of us has a part in that vision. So here today, as we come to the table, that's what we want to participate in. I'm going to invite those who are helping serve this morning to come and join me.